Colstrip residents are skeptical of Governor Bullock's plan to reduce carbon dioxide emissions in the state. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Christopher Allen. Billings residents and Missoulians are next in line to weigh in on Montana's climate plan. Governor Steve Bullock asked the Montana Department of Environmental Quality to analyze ways the state can comply with the EPA's proposed Clean Power Plan. State regulators were in Colstrip yesterday, the heart of Montana coal country, for a public meeting on a draft rule limiting carbon pollution in Montana. Montana Associated Press reporter Matthew Brown attended yesterday's meeting at Colstrip High School. He tells Edward O'Brien the meeting drew more than 200 people, the vast majority of whom either worked at the Colstrip plant or were linked to Montana's coal industry.
There's obviously, from the coal industry and the folks who work in it, a lot of concern about the Obama administration's climate plan. The state, though, has stepped in here, and they say they're going to come up with their own proposal for how to achieve those greenhouse gas reductions in Montana without shutting down coal plants. So there's a little bit of a buffer between the actual EPA plan and the folks at Colstrip, and that is the state. So the State Department of Environmental Quality Director Tracy Stone Manning, she heard a fair amount of grievances about the Obama climate plan and also worries about whether the state would be able to, as the governor is claiming, achieve the goals of that plan without costing jobs at plants like the Colstrip power plant. There was a fair amount of dislike aired of the climate plan from the administration, but there's also some level of appreciation that the state was trying to craft something that wouldn't necessarily be as bad for the coal industry as it might be if the federal government had the final say.
You did mention one exception in this audience, and that was a local rancher. His name was Wade Sikorsky, right?
Correct. Wade Sikorsky appeared to be the only one there, or at least who spoke support of doing something more aggressive than the state is proposing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. He's a farmer south of Baker. He tells me he's had noticed a lot more frequent hailstorms in recent years, and he thinks the weather is showing some of the effects of climate change, and he is worried that if that continues, it'll limit the number of crops he can grow. He wants something done specifically about Colstrip, the power plant.
Did the audience have any reaction when he was speaking, any rolling eyes or groans, or was it respectful and quiet?
They were definitely respectful, both to the state and Mr. Sikorsky, the farmer. One of the people who spoke afterwards seemed to dismiss some of his worries, talked about his little farm in a slightly denigrating fashion, but overall everybody was pretty civil.
And the next meeting on this issue is what, being held in Billings this evening, is that right?
There's a meeting in Billings tonight and then another in Missoula tomorrow. I expect we'll get a more mixed crowd in Billings. Interestingly, what the governor's doing here, which is saying we can move forward on climate change without hurting coal plants, environmentalists, they're supportive of the idea, but if you start talking about the details, they actually don't think it does all that much. And that's because the reduction targets are not all that aggressive. It's kind of a middle ground here, I guess, what's thought to be palatable. But nevertheless, even though it doesn't necessarily get what environmentalists want, what it does give them is some kind of movement on this issue that's been stuck for quite a number of years now.
Montana Associated Press reporter Matthew Brown, thank you so much for your time, and your story was very interesting this morning. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
This evening's meeting on the Montana DEQ's proposal to help the state comply with the EPA's Clean Power Plan will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. in Billings. Tomorrow's meeting in Missoula, also from 6 to 8, is at the Best Western Grant Creek Inn. Montana wildlife officials say they won't send bison to be relocated from Yellowstone National Park to a private reserve near Malta. State Wildlife Bureau Chief Ken McDonald says the American Prairie Reserve was eliminated from consideration pending the adoption of a statewide bison conservation plan. That document is expected to be completed sometime next year. The 145 bison slated for relocation went through an experimental program to establish new herds of disease-free bison outside Yellowstone. Four entities remain in the running to receive the animals. They are the Assiniboine and Sioux tribes of Montana's Fort Peck Indian Reservation, the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, along with the Wildlife Conservation Society Zoo Consortium. An appeals court says federal prosecutors can't always use past tribal court convictions as proof of a defendant's criminal history. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled Tuesday that two federal counts of domestic assault by a repeat offender filed against Michael Bryant Jr. in 2011 must be dismissed. The judges said Bryant was convicted in tribal court and served time in custody, but didn't have an attorney. The judges said those convictions would not be considered legal under the U.S. Constitution, which guarantees a defendant the right to an attorney. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Montana argued that tribal courts aren't governed by the U.S. Constitution and that Bryant's convictions were legal under tribal law. A federal judge says a former Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate is allowed to talk about a complaint he filed against a Montana judge last year without fear of punishment. The Montana Judicial Standards Commission forbids public disclosure of complaints against judges unless the commission finds they have merit. Dan Cox says that rule is an unconstitutional violation of his free speech rights. Cox filed a judicial misconduct complaint against District Judge Jeffrey Langton of Hamilton that was dismissed by the commission last year. The commission warned Cox not to disclose the complaint or he would be found in contempt. U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen sided with Cox's argument. The confidentiality rule infringed on his speech. And now for your weather forecast. There's a winter weather advisory in effect from midnight tonight to noon Thursday above 5,000 feet for the West Glacier region, the northern Rocky Mountain front, and East Glacier. West of the divide tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s to mid-30s. Thursday, partly cloudy, chance of rain showers in the morning, highs in the 50s. In central Montana tonight, increasing clouds, rain likely after midnight, lows 30 to 40 degrees, could feel some 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts after midnight, too. Thursday will start cloudy with 20 to 40-mile-per-hour winds. Rain and snow is likely, too. And in southwest Montana tonight, mostly clear, lows 25 to 35. Thursday, partly cloudy with a chance of rain, highs 45 to 55 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams.
Recently, there has been a lot of negative chatter on the internet, that is, social media, about what some people, most specifically President Obama's critics, are saying about how he improperly returned a military salute to the two Marines who stand at the bottom of the stairs of the presidential helicopter. Apparently, just a week or so ago, the president returned the Marines' salute while holding a cup of coffee or perhaps tea in the same hand. "Outrageous," cried his critics. "A disregard for our military," said others. "Abusive," harked Fox News. Yes, the president's latte salute was awkward, just as was his predecessor George W. Bush's similar salute while holding in his saluting hand his little dog, Barney. But there is a lot more to these political pressured military salutes. Military standards do not permit salutes by civilians wearing civilian clothes. And that, of course, includes presidents. The nation's five-star general and World War II Supreme Allied Commander and our 34th president, Dwight Eisenhower, never, as president, returned a military salute. In fact, that was true of every president elected until 1981, Ronald Reagan. He started returning salutes. I don't know if it was Reagan's friendliness, his infatuation with the fiction of the movies he'd been in, or perhaps his lack of knowledge of the military code of saluting. But whatever it was, Reagan began the practice of returning salutes. Now, 36 years later, presidents are still making the same mistake by returning salutes. They probably know better. But think of the political pressure if a president now didn't return a military salute. Certainly it's a nice gesture. But I personally preferred the way Ike did it. Follow the rules. But I think our presidents should pay the Marines and the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force personnel that salute them a substitute for the salute that would be a nice compliment. Presidents, as Commander-in-Chief and civilians, should, when possible, stop at the bottom of the stairs of the helicopter Marine One or the presidential plane Air Force One and shake hands with the saluting Marine or Air Force enlisted personnel. Exchange a pleasantry, a greeting, or at least on their way by, say hello. That enlisted person would never forget a short visit with the president at the bottom of the stairs. They'd carry it with them for the rest of their life. And it would be a reminder to each of us that rules are to be followed, even by our Commander-in-Chief. This is Pat Williams. Thanks a lot for listening.
Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our website at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on the website. I'm Christopher Allen. Thanks for listening. Please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 a.m. for Montana Morning News.